Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're here again. We're to Ash Wednesday. It's fascinating. One of the things that I have found is that for almost everyone under 20, they have no clue why somebody would put ashes on their head. Unfortunately, many of our young people have never been taught about Ash Wednesday. Nor have many of us been taught about humility either. All too often I read and we blame it on the millennials, but I think it is also a generational thing that goes well beyond the millennials, that we tell ourselves that we are good, and when things bad happen, guess what? It's not our fault, right? Isn't that how we live the world? But here in Scripture, we see something interesting. Psalm 51 is a psalm that David wrote after he had failed over and over again with Bathsheba, with killing his best friend, with doing things wrong. And he writes in those first three lines, I've been thinking about putting them on my mirror that I look into every morning and remind myself of the sins that I have done. And then flip to the Old Testament, and guess what? That is where the people of God are coming and saying, we have done wrong as a community. And in both cases, what happens? They don't turn to outside forces. They don't turn to other things. They turn to themselves and say, how can I change? How can I be different? One of the things about Lutheranism that stands strong versus many other Protestant faiths is we believe that the old Adam is in us continually. There are many Protestants who believe that once one is baptized, they become a new creation, and in that new creation, they no longer sin. Unfortunately, I hate to tell you, Lutheran's experience, and really the experience in general, is that we become a new creation because God tells us we are a new creation, not because we have done anything. When we come out of the waters of baptism, guess what? We are changed because God says we are changed. We are changed because God says what you have done wrong is forgiven. That's why Martin Luther says when we come to confession, it is not just enough for us to confess on our knees, but we must hear the words of absolution. That's why it's confession and absolution. So it's we come to confess, and then the pastor absolves. Or hopefully when you confess at your home, guess what? You confess, and then you hear the words of God speaking through your head. My child, you're forgiven. What does that mean? That means the old Adam, which is that part of sin that is talked about, is always in us. And we, as Christians, try to fight it back. We fight back because God calls us to new relationship. That when we truly come to God and ask for forgiveness, it is not just us recognizing that we have done something wrong, but it is actually changing it. It's similar to this analogy, and I'm sure many parents understand this. Your child does something wrong. Right now, Eli's in that. He does something wrong, and you say, Eli, stop doing it. And what does Eli say? Oh, yes, Daddy, I won't do that again. Does he really mean to change? We can hope. But when he goes right back to it, did he really mean to change, or was he only saying it because that was the natural response that he thought his daddy wanted to have? All too often, hate to tell you, Eli's response is only what daddy thought. That's often what we do in lip service to God. We sit there and say, God, you want me to ask for forgiveness? Here you go. I'll tell you all the things you want. But what God wants us is to do that action of change. That action of change is not something, as we hear in the gospel lesson, is for others to see. It is not something that we sit there and hang up and say, look, I'm doing well. But that change is an inward change that transforms our lives and makes us whole with God. Because what God wants from us is not for us to not have fun, not for us to be happy. What God wants us is to experience who we are in our fullness. And God created us to be full. So even though the devil so often tells us this will lead us to happiness, it is what leads us to destruction. But God wants to turn us to that joy and happiness. Lent was created, and even Ash Wednesday, as a time to be set apart. It's time to be outside of the ordinariness. That's one of the reasons why the church traditionally had worship midweek. Was because how many of you actually showed up midweek? Not in Lent. Not many of you, right? We're not Baptists. We don't do that Wednesday thing. But you do for Lent. You come midweek. You refocus and re-energize yourself. You add extra things. And so often we take away things. Our Bishop Matthew Riegel, in his message to us in Lent, and if you would like to have those messages, you can get on the Synod Roadshow that comes out once or twice a week, and Matthew Riegel writes about what's happening in the Synod, and it's easy to get on, and it's a nice little listserv. But he says, for us, in Lent, the goal is not for us just to give up things so we can be miserable for 40 days. The goal is not to just go through the things and make us seem like we're getting holier, but the actions should lead us to holiness. That's why he recommends that it doesn't need to be just taking away things. It's, do you add things? How do you make those changes better? Do you know why the reason for fasting was? The reason for fasting was not because everybody thought it was a great idea for humanity to not eat. That doesn't make sense, right? Eating gives you wholeness and health. But fasting, the idea was that you would take that time that you would be eating and place that into prayer with God and allow you to have that extra time to focus on what God was calling you to do. So that time in the morning where you'd have breakfast, you'd be to God in prayer. In the afternoon, and all that. Where the gospel says, if fasting's only to make people feel sorry for you, then it's a wasted exercise. It's not of health. But if you fast, do it alone. Do it where God can interact with you and where God can well up in you. If you're giving up something, my challenge for you is, how is it going to grow you? Don't just give it up because it sounds good. My brother-in-law always gives up Brussels sprouts. Granted, he never eats Brussels sprouts, but he gives them up every Lent. There's not a ton of health in that. But think about the things you can do. That the early church set aside these 40 days so that we could refocus and realize that we're not perfect. That it is our fault. But it is God that will lead us to wholeness. That as we gather here today and we have the ashes placed on our head and reminded from dust you came and to dust you will return, the next thing we do is what? Take the meal of God. That reminds us, as Lutherans we believe, communion is not just going through the motions. It's not that we just come up and take the bread and the wine, but in it you receive forgiveness. Sins create death. Christ creates new life in us. Juxtaposed, the ashes and the meal. One leads to death, one leads to right next to each other. Just as we see the ashes to begin Lent, and we see the tomb emptied, the sun rays, and the new life at the resurrection that we receive as well. Amen.